deepest darkness of Droman Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 40 of Flashpoint. So we've been slaving away at this for 40, well not days and nights, but for 40 nights. And there's no one I'd rather be rowing the battleship along with and slaving away than these two guys, starting off with Ed. How are you, mate?
Some days it feels like I'm trying to move a battleship with a paddle, but then some days I get to come here and have fun doing a podcast, so I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
And that's a valid point about the battleship. I meant to say longboat or something, but anyway. Simon, how are you, mate?
I'm good.
Yay! Somebody's good!
That was very emphatic. I like emphatic.
And short.
And short. So this is actually the first episode of the new format for what it is, and I'm sure it'll be very all over the place for the first time, but this is the one where we're dividing up into the different games. Each week at this stage, we'll start off with Star Wars The Old Republic, and I think because there's been a lot going on in that'll probably be about the first half of the podcast, third to a half. Then we're going to talk Guild Wars 2, The Secret World, and a bit of WoW at the end as well. So stay with us. We've got some new little musical bits in between that I've been madly working on the past week, and we'd love to hear your feedback on those. But we shall start with Star Wars The Old Republic, as mentioned. And just for once for the road, we'll have the Republic news soundbite.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic news.
Last 2 weeks, sort of a bit's happened, although it's more in what's happened around the game than what's happened in the game. But we'll talk about the post-Chevron wrap up. So as far as the world event that was sort of halfway through when we talked last podcast, and I know all three of us had had a little bit of a look or a go at it. Starting off with you, Simon, how did you end up finishing it up?
Nope.
You did? No, I didn't.
I discovered that I didn't care.
I can understand that.
So I didn't even care enough to go and turn in the bits and pieces I had up to that point. So yeah, I was a little surprised the vendor didn't hang around a bit longer than that, but that's my own fault for not checking to find out he was only going to be there for a week on from the closure of the race itself. So there we go, pays to read things.
So no finish for you, Ed. Did you, I can't remember, I don't know that you'd started it when we talked last.
I didn't. I found out about it the day before it ended.
Well, that's about right, because yeah, we recorded about 24 to 36 hours before. So yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, I found out about it the day before it ended, and then I ran through, got all the way to the end, got to the last quest, and it bugged.
There you go. So the Ed non-complete as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. There were parts of it that were very interesting, and obviously some thought had gone into some of the things, some of the puzzles, trying to figure out a lot of the things. Some of the things could have been better thought out. Some of the stuff could have been a little better arranged, but the actual quests that you had to go through, I liked the investigation idea that you had to sneak around and find out information on what was actually going on, as opposed to just running around and killing things all the time. Although there was quite a bit of that too. And it was interesting running around Nar Shaddaa as a level 50 commando. You know, just, okay, you're attacking me. You're a level 22 and you're attacking me. Okay, boom, hammer shot, you're dead.
Yeah, there was that. So, I mean, I think you know our world event has been particularly shit when I'm the only person that completed it. So after the last podcast I did, I thought, I'm not going to let this bastard go without finishing it, in that I'd done 2/3 of it. And I finished it and, yeah, got to the end and thought, this makes Noble Garden in WoW, the seasonal event, for those that have been stupid enough to play Noble Garden, made it look good in comparison. So, yeah, I was a bit
most
deflated.
Most people who played it were unimpressed. I mean, the Rakghoul event that happened was pretty darn cool. You know, every day there's more stuff happening, and by the end of it, you have 5 daily quests that you can do, and some of these things are in PvP areas, so you have to be careful running into the PvP areas, and then some of the other things you really need to bring backup on because you cannot solo some of the stuff. This, it seemed more like, you know, we got to throw something out there. We've got to put something out there so that people will pay attention to us again. And yeah, they paid attention for a little while. And oh, I got a title and a pet.
And the pet's ugly, although most pets are ugly. But yeah, agreed totally. And what further undermined it is the ridiculous time frame of a week, given that some optimists I know on a couple of Facebook groups I'm on were saying, well, maybe this is just the first part of an ongoing world event and that's why they finish it in a week, and I think there's something else coming soon. Well, nothing's come, so why the hell would you only do it for a week?
Well, I've actually talked with a couple of people, several people actually, on a couple of different servers, and they're all of the opinion that this was just to either prime the pump or whet your appetite or whatever. It wasn't intended as the full-on event. Question is when the rest of it's going to drop and whether or not all the people who were disappointed by this are going to be here when the rest of it drops.
Yeah, plus any momentum that was built by it is well and truly gone again because it's now 2 weeks since it finished, or 2 weeks on Tuesday. But anyway, so there's that. Okay, so next cab off the rank is an interview with Jeff Hickman. Simon, tell us about Jeff, and he's no relation to Alan Rickman, we worked out during the week. Tell us about Jeff and what he had to say in his exciting interview.
Yeah, spelling's never been my strong suit. Jeff Hickman is BioWare's general manager for live services, or sorry, executive producer for live services. And he was having an interview with Zam.com. And while there's a certain amount of PR fluff in there, which I think goes with the territory, he did cover a couple of points which I thought were worth mentioning. The first was that they're really wanting to lock into a 6-week update schedule. And obviously we're talking about new content, not anything that's going to progress a story on that sort of schedule, because doing all the voiceover stuff is just not feasible. So that's fair enough. But 6-week schedule, I think, would keep people interested, keep people entertained. DC Universe Online, I think, works to a 4-week schedule. The Secret World is also working to a 4-week schedule. I think Rift is on a 6. So it's entirely practical that they could do this and they could stick with it. So I think that's a good sign. He also mentioned space combat. Now, he did the usual bit about new space combat missions that are coming up, which I would love because I'm getting a bit bored with the ones we've got currently. But he said that they have a dedicated space combat team working on, his words, lots of interesting things. And I know that still sounds like a bit of the coming soon nonsense that we're always getting from them. But just the way he said it and just the general tone of the interview, it sounded more substantial. So I think it's promising. I think that bodes well for where we're going. And then just following on from the great acquisition race, he said that it was foreshadowing and hinting heavily as to where the story was headed. So again, we knew there was more story content to come, but I think this is something you can, if not hang your a hat on, at least eyeball it as somewhere to hang your hat. So they're the three things I thought were most interesting. Again, it's nothing rock solid, but I think it's encouraging. What do you guys think?
Ed?
It is a bunch of PR nonsense, PR fluff. But from what various people have told me, maybe they were quoting him, I don't know, but they seem to think that it's going to be, there is going to be more stuff coming, there is going to be better stuff coming. I don't know. I finally got my commando in full campaign gear, so I hope there's more stuff coming, because even running the black hole on Corellia is getting kind of repetitive.
Yeah, agree totally. And I think they're really on a limited time frame to deliver on this stuff, in that, you know, free to play, when it goes, you know, fully live, they've really got, what, a month after that before a lot of people on free to play have leveled up to 50 and are standing alongside all the previous subscribers going, okay, what next? And so if they don't have significant content updates by that stage, then that's when the game is in serious trouble.
Yeah. I mean, the plan, from what I can gather, is that they want these people to subscribe, or to free to play, to play it as much as they can, get hooked on it, and then subscribe. But I don't see a lot of these, a lot of people, unless they're, you know, rabid Star Wars fans like myself, who will continue to play every single class until I've found every single option for every single class. I don't see a lot of other people playing this as fervently, as crazily as I do.
No, I think you're right. And so, you know, leveling is still very much a highlight of the game. I love it. I did some more trooper time just today, actually, because I was feeling guilty about my lack of Star Wars The Old Republic time, and still great fun. But once you get to that 50, like I, you know, I'm barely going near my consular because I don't tend to do a lot of operations. And beyond that, I can't be asked doing dailies for just slightly better gear. So here's hoping. I'm sort of on both sides. Simon, I tend to agree that I think they are going to deliver, and, you know, 6 weeks may become 8 weeks, but that's a hell of a lot better than 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, and that's obviously one of the big problems, is there have been a number of updates made, but they've mostly been to fix things that were wrong with the game itself. They haven't been content updates. So now most of that sort of stuff's out of the way, it seems a bit more realistic. But I've got a couple of clips from Matt Bromberg, who's the head honcho there these days. And unfortunately, I can't actually recall which one's which. But one of them is dealing with the staff rehash they had. And, well, the other one, I'll see what you guys think of it. So here's the first one. I'll play them both, and then we can have a bit of a chat about them.
We recrafted our team and handpicked the people we wanted, who we thought could go forward and make and really turn this into a new game.
So that's one. And the other one is...
We're organized into teams that have different specializations, and our content teams, we call them strike teams. Our content strike teams are separate from our MTX strike teams, and they're different people.
They work in parallel.
They work in parallel.
Okay, so the second one there, if you're wondering what MTX stands for, it stands for microtransaction.
Okay, and who actually recorded those, that interview?
That was an interview, I think it was done at GamesCon. It was done by a German website called buffed.de. That's Portal for Online Spiel, which I assume means online world.
News. Yeah.
News. Oh, close enough.
I've decided it's news, not speaking any German whatsoever.
I'm not. So there we go.
Yeah, no, that's. Yeah. I just want to comment on the first one about we recrafted our team and handpicked. I mean, the first one was pure CEO speak and full of bullshit. So the whole we recrafted as averse to, we cut the shit out of it, and because we can't afford to keep the team that we did for development, which is more than reasonable, so why not say it? And then, you know, we handpicked. Well, I suppose you do try and keep on your better staff, so that's probably accurate. But, yeah, first one was just CEO speak.
There wasn't that bit that actually caught my ear, though. It was he was what he ended on, which was turning it into a new game.
Yeah, sorry, that was great point. And the turning it into a new game.
Yeah, you're right. The rest of it was so much double talk.
But the cynic in me says that even that's just PR bullshit to go out to the audiences to say, yeah, we might have started off not that great, but it's a whole new game going on.
God, I hope so.
It's a boy.
Yeah, they may deliver it.
You know what crossed my mind when I heard that? Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, right. Oh, no.
That's exactly what they said prior to the combat upgrades. That's the almost the exact same words. God help us. If they're doing the same thing, God help us.
But see, I'd argue that they can do it the right way this time, because this time they're not going to kill the strength, you wouldn't think, which is the story-based leveling. It's just the end game and other aspects that are sucking a bit at the moment. So I can't see how they could do worse.
Don't say that. Don't.
No, I'm sure they won't.
No. I mean, we said the same thing prior to the combat upgrade, prior to the NGE. In Star Wars Galaxies, how could they make it worse? They found a way. Please, Electronic Arts, please don't do it again.
No, I'm sure they won't. Even I'm optimistic enough to assume they won't do that. And if they do, then, it deserves to go the way of Star Wars Galaxies, except much quicker.
You're an optimist, are you, David? Are you really?
In a pessimistic sort of way.
Right, okay.
I never would have known.
But what about the second point, where he's making it quite clear that the content teams are different people and completely separate and detached from MTX, which obviously means that any changes going on with to make the game free to play are quite separate and distinct and not draining resources from one to do the other, which I know has been a concern of a lot of people.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
Again, assuming you can believe anything he says.
Yeah, assuming you can believe anything that a CEO says in a PR setting, it's both good and bad. It's good in that you're not having you're hopefully not having too much duplication of effort. You have people who are focusing on one specific area at a time. You don't have them focusing on everything. It's bad in that, eventually they're going to have to coordinate all these things together. And if they've gone too far in, disparate directions, it'll take them more time to pull everything back together. Hopefully they have some good coordination between the teams. I've seen that kind of thing work very well on jobs. And I've seen it bomb. So six and one, half dozen the other. We'll have to see how they manage to do it, if they manage to pull it off properly.
Yeah. And I my cynicism meter kicked in with calling them strike teams. And the pure cynical center of my being said, does that mean that they're likely to go on strike because they're not being paid enough? But, strike teams, it's a military term. It's meant to convey the whole idea that we're on this and we're active and we're in there fighting the fight to make a better game. And it's a bit PR speak for me. If I want a strike team, I want a covert ops team from a good military power, not a gaming company.
Yeah, the word, using the word strike team for that, I heard that. I'm like, you're trying to appeal to the Call of Duty crowd for an MMO. You're stupid.
I think, I reckon he's had direct advice on conveying momentum, that we've got momentum going here, and I think it's just a bit obvious. Simon, am I deflating your balloon, mate?
No, I'm just listening to everything you say, taking it all in, and then completely disregarding, which is one of
you. Of course.
I wouldn't expect.
Of course. Anyway. What else would you do?
I am. The thing is, despite the fact that I've been feeling quite negative towards BioWare and the game, I've actually, maybe I just want to believe, but I still believe that good things can come out of this. And like I said in one of the articles, people's, I think, with a bit of luck, now that the expectations have been completely and utterly smashed into a gooey paste underneath everyone's shoes, that the game might actually have a bit of breathing space now to try and sort itself out without having, you know, it's gone from being the WoW killer to a miss at the last earnings call. I mean, the expectations can't get any lower. So maybe they've actually got some breathing room now.
No, I agree totally.
Please, and don't say that.
I think we're all in agreement that all three of us want to be playing the game in 5 years' time. And here's hoping it happens.
I would love to be playing this game in 5 years' time, but the way that things are going, especially with the big companies like EA running things now, if it keeps sucking away money for not enough return, what is any company these days going to do?
Yeah. Well, Warhammer's still going.
And actually, we're going to talk more about this in regards to the Secret World as well. So we'll sort of put that on hold. And yeah, it's a really good point about how much investment and patience the owners have. So no, it's a really good point. Let's skip on to BioWare and Star Wars The Old Republic's presence at gaming conventions. So I'll skip over some of the collectibles because we're running a bit long.
Yeah.
So BioWare have announced that they aren't going to be at PAX, which this is how ignorant I am. I didn't realize PAX was short for Penny Arcade until yesterday.
You didn't?
Well, had no idea.
Good grief.
Yeah, I'm a noob.
Neither did I until a year ago. So
there you go. And the only reason I know that is that there was a news story, which is very Oceanic related, is that PAX is coming to Australia.
Oh, cool.
So no details as yet, but the organisers have alluded to the fact that they're going to Australia next year and hoping to go UK, I think they said, not long after that. So very excited about that, assuming that if PAX, you know, it's even half the size of what it is in the US, that's going to be great for us.
That'd be awesome. I will
say this. If they have a choice between making something to show at a games convention or making new content for the game, there's no question which one I want.
Yeah, and I'm hopeful that that's the reason. So, sorry, yeah, I didn't sort of finish the intro as far as, yeah, they're not going to be at PAX, and they only had what you'd argue is a token showing at GamesCon. I suppose their argument is that they're really working on making the game better, and I hope that's the case. But I also think that's probably an issue of a marketing budget. I reckon they've just got a much cut marketing budget and can only do so much.
Well, there's a bit of that, and they can't announce Markab again. I don't know if they've got anything else to show. I mean, they didn't even show up for Celebration, so.
No, true.
But with a bit of luck, maybe what they're doing is they wound right back so they can make a real push when new content starts coming through the pipe and free-to-play hits, and then just actually try and promote the game for once.
True. Well, I thought they could have done a big video retrospective of the Chevron event.
Oh, you dry bastard.
Yeah, sorry.
You evil, evil man.
So, yeah, no PAX for... But, yeah, I agree. I think it's a bit of everything, and it's good to see that, you know, they've been sensible in what going to things. There's no point going... You look lame at going to something and having nothing than not turning up at all. So I think that's a good move. And hoping to see them out at PAX Australia next year, whenever that is. Now, Simon, this one's totally your one because I can't even understand what it means. So, Star Wars: The Old Republic at 18 on Crossfire and steadily dropping.
Oh, right. You could have asked before we started.
this is you know.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. You know, preparation. As far as he's concerned, their preparation just is followed by the letter X. So.
And is it Crossfire or X-Fire? Because I feel really ignorant now, twice.
I've only ever seen it written. I assume it's you pronounce it Crossfire, but it doesn't really matter. Basically, it's like a messaging service you can use in-game, but across multiple games. And one of the things they do, they measure all sorts of metrics, but one of them is how many hours are being played within specific games. And then they periodically publish a little table which shows you who's playing the most of what. And that's what it is. And last time I looked, it was sitting at number 18. Number one was League of Legends.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I had it down as one of the military games. There you go.
Oh, no, no.
League of Legends is a very good, very popular, very cheap game to play these days. I've played it, and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't something that I would get back into. It just wasn't really my thing.
No, and what was not? Do you remember what some of the other top 10? I'm assuming there were some of the military stuff. WoW would be in there. Some of the Asian country MMOs.
It
doesn't matter.
Have a bit of a look while you keep talking.
No, you should just make it up and say it was, you know, Super Mario Kart was at number 2. Number 3 was Tetris.
Hello Kitty Online.
Yeah, Hello Kitty Online at 4.
Oh, Hello Kitty Online Adventures, and I only know that game even exists because of South Park.
Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft would probably be. Minecraft probably is a legit top 10.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Farmville, I'd be a bit sad if it was. So there you go, number 18. It actually could have been worse, but yeah, it'd be nice to see it rise up the rankings a bit.
Well, to give you an idea, I can't remember how much further it down was down, but EVE Online was a lot lower than that. And they're still doing fine.
Yeah, they are. That's exactly right.
So that just goes back to my point about Warhammer Online. I mean, that's a game that most people would consider is completely dead, but there are still people playing it.
Yep. Indeedly-dee-do. So that's probably it for Star Wars Zero Republic beyond the most popular part from all the feedback we get every week, and that's the lore update. So, Ed, we won't do a music for the lore update now, we do it by games, but Ed, you've got another classic this week. Go for it.
Well, I don't know whether it's a classic or not.
Well, I'm talking it
everybody,
up.
Everybody, oh, well, of course you did, and I'm talking it down. So, yeah, the last time I did a lore update, I talked about HK-47, and anybody who's played through the Old Republic, who has played the operator or the flashpoints in the Old Republic, has met HK-47. He was introduced in Knights of the Old Republic, and he's one of the most iconic and the most homicidal characters you will ever meet in a video game. Just the ultimate, just hilarious assassin droid. Just listening to what he says and when he says it is just absolutely hilarious. So, when they created a sequel to Knights of the Old Republic, the original game, they decided they wanted to capitalize on the popularity of HK-47. I don't think they expected him to be quite as popular as he was and is. So they said, okay, we're going to have these new droids, silver droids, that are HK-50s that are running around the galaxy chasing the player character through all these things. And we're going to have a quest involving them, and we're going to have to deal with them eventually. Oh, and in order to get the game out on time, we're going to have to cut all that content out. So we have the HK-50s and a bunch of deleted content that involves things called HK-51s. So that brings us to Star Wars The Old Republic. And the announcement that one of the new characters in the new, or one of the new NPCs in the new content, is going to be an HK-51 assassin droids. I'm not entirely sure where they're going with this, but it'll be interesting. There's even an entry on the wiki about it, about where they're supposed to. Where they're supposed to be from, how they're supposed to get there. Apparently, you're supposed to encounter them on Belsavis in part of one of the things. But the interesting thing is that you're going to have a character of each faction in order to get it for some reason. We're not sure why yet. But you need to have one max level character of one faction and a medium level character of another faction in order to get this companion. probably has to do something, maybe have to go to Dromund Kaas as well as Coruscant and get something or somewhere. Or I'm sure there'll be quest bits involved. But the HK series of droids is just so frickin' cool. No matter how badly they nerf it, no matter how badly they make it, you know, silly or stupid or crazy or whatever, it's HK. It's, you know, one of the HK series. It's one of HK-47's minions or followers or descendants, because he, in the original series, insert spoiler here, in the deleted thing, he was supposed to go to this planet and recruit a bunch of these HK-51 droids to help him fight the HK-50s. That part all got cut. Apparently there's a Sith Lord's restoration project that's gone out that has replaced some of it, but I don't know whether or not it's actually... I've never actually played it because I can't get Knights of the Old Republic 2 to play on my new computer. Bummer. Anyway, HK-51. I'm betting he's going to be a badass. I'm betting he's going to be almost certainly ranged DPS. I mean, that was what HK-47 was. He was surprisingly tough for his size and shape, but he was mainly, you know, see a target, kill the target, period. He's an assassin droid. What else do you expect from him? Probably uses blaster rifles or blaster pistols. According to HK-47, they could use anything from a holdout blaster pistol up to and including strategic atomic munitions. But well, it probably won't have that involved in this game anytime soon, we hope, anyway. I could just see the PvP implications of using a tactical nuclear weapon somewhere like the Void Star. But for HK-47, or probably HK-51, that would be perfect. Remove all the enemies at one time in the most efficient manner possible. I'm really looking forward to it.
You know what? Even I am, just from the viewpoint that the requirements to get it as a companion are so huge that it makes me want to try and step up to the challenge. So I think even that alone is going to appeal to a lot of people.
Yeah, it really depends on what the challenge is. If it's just, okay, you need to have these two characters and they need to be able to go and buy something and mail it to each other, that's kind of iffy. But if you have to go to Dromund Kaas and do a series of quests and then go to Coruscant to do a series of quests to get the bits needed to mail to another character, to go to Balsavis and then do the operation that then you can activate an HK-51, because apparently there's an entire shipload of these things down there, which is why every character is going to be able to get one, supposedly. I'm really looking forward to this, actually. I want to see what weapons he's capable of using, what armor he's capable of using, but most importantly of all, I want to see what damage he does, and I really want to hear the dialogue, because there's something both wrong, right, and hilarious about HK-47 and HK-50 and HK-51's dialogue. You know, statement. Do you wish the miniature organic blasted, Master? Do I say yes? Do I say no? Do I say, yeah, go for it. Bang! And he'll just do it. And you're just like, okay. The other question I have is, if you're a light side character, how are you going to get affection with this guy? Ooh. Trying to get affection with HK-47 as a light side character in KOTOR 1 and 2 was just impossible. You couldn't do it. At least they have the gift system in this game.
True. And maybe you'd be able to marry him. Simon, any thoughts on HK-51?
I'm just wondering what interface port will be required for that.
Dude, don't go there.
Maybe Scuzzy seems appropriate somehow.
Dude.
Oh, I'm sorry,
did
I went there.
Play KOTOR 1? Did you ever play KOTOR 1, Simon?
I'm going to hunt you down and cut your head off and do
did
something.
You ever, no, I'm serious. David never did.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes. Okay. Yes, of course I did.
Sorry. But, I mean, every time I assume somebody has, they haven't.
David.
Anyway, offended. Do you remember the quest that you get in the Jedi, one of the first quests you get at the Jedi Enclave? When the lady asks you to find her protocol droid?
Oh, vaguely. That's a long, long time ago.
And you go rescue the protocol droid. The protocol droid says, thank you for rescuing me. Now destroy me, please. And your character's like, huh? What? And he's like, the mistress is a little fixated on me. She
Yes, that's right.
Side. And yeah. And you're asked.
That's just weird.
All the time. And the droid replies, you don't want to know.
Someone needs to do another podcast on relationships in Star Wars The Old Republic. You could have fun with that. If someone out there wants to do that, we'll happily plug it. And I mean that pun intended.
Oh, that was bad, David. That was bad. Ooh, I like it.
Oh, and actually, I forgot to say at the intro, and we talked before the show that we're going to give a final farewell and send-off to Ed's evil laugh because it's now dead on this podcast. So, Ed, one more for the final time.
I don't want to, but okay.
See, appropriate for an episode 40, it's a sort of a milestone, and that's the last time you'll hear it.
Milestone or millstone?
Yeah, millstone. That's right. Just an E or an L. It's like Rickman and Hickman. So that's it. Thank you, Ed. As always, Lore Updates Gold. And that's pretty much it for Star Wars The Old Republic. The only thing I meant to cover but didn't, and we can talk about it in a fortnight, was the announcement of some further information about the Terror from Beyond operation, but the information is not that extensive and we'll probably know even more in a fortnight, so we'll hold that over until then. So let's move on to Guild Wars 2. Been a week since it's a week since early access, a week and a day, and not quite a week since Guild Wars 2 launched officially last Tuesday Australian time. And I think it's fair to say it's been a raging success, particularly if the server queues are anything to go by. So we're going to talk a little bit about just the launch itself, our initial impressions, having leveled up a little bit, and then a couple of bits of news that have come through. So we'll start with the launch. The launch went smoothly, lots of queues, but one of the best things about this game, and it certainly impressed the hell out of me, aside from no subscription fee, is the fact that even when you log in, you never just sit looking at a queue screen. You go into an overflow, what do they call it? The overflow...
Slow server. So
server, that's what it is, yeah, overflow server, which means that you log in and continue playing the game, it's just not on your server. Now, the downside of that is it's obviously been Guild Wars 2. If you're in a guild or you're wanting to play with a friend, well, then you're pretty well stuffed. But as far as a leveling experience on your own, you don't notice any difference. And then, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes or whenever you've got to the front of the queue, you get a nice little message saying, do you want to jump over to your server now? You click OK and there you go. It continues seamlessly. I cannot for the life of me understand why other MMOs haven't done that. And maybe they have on MMOs, I just haven't played them, but it's a bloody brilliant way to go.
Yeah, I've not encountered it either, and it's just such an elegant solution. Don't open up 300 servers and then have to shut them down 6 months later. Do this.
Yeah. It's just an absolutely superb way to do it. So, yeah, launch, besides the two issues we're going to talk about in a minute, the launch seemed pretty bloody flawless given the amount of people, and we haven't heard officially how many people have logged in since then and, you know, how many copies in that. That'll be a little while off, but I've not seen the slightest inkling that it hasn't been anything but a success. Initial impression, so I've got a level 7 Asura Mesmer, and that's all I've got. But Simon, I believe you might have more than one character. Surprise, surprise.
Maybe, yeah.
Have you got less than 6?
Yes.
Just.
I'm a bit vague on a couple of them, I have to admit. Most of them, all of them apart from the Char, are sitting at level 2. Because I've just basically wanted to have a bit of a poke around, have a little bit of a look. I love the Char. I think they're excellent. But after having a look around the Black Cauldron and just looking at the city and think, wow, Drummond cast just sucks balls compared to this. it's epic. It's big. There's a lot going on, a lot to see. It's beautiful. And I thought, I want to see what some of the other capital cities look like. So that's one of the main reasons why I've got all of the other alts. But I'll probably be playing at least two or three of them, I would think.
Now,
two
really good points there. Graphics. So it's always a bit cruel to compare graphics between MMOs, but you're right, it's a pretty, pretty game. Mm. And it, although I love the cities in SWTOR, and they amazed me when I first, you know, got off the ship and looked at them. But, yeah, this is another step again. That said, I'm embarrassed to admit I haven't actually been to any of the cities in that I haven't got outside Metrica province. So that makes me a real GW2 noob. But that's life. But just as a general thing, yeah, graphically it's beautiful.
But it's not just the graphics. It's also the scale of them. I mean, one of the things about Coruscant. Well, Coruscant's bigger than Drummond Cuss anyway. The Cuss City I'm thinking of specifically. Cuss City is very small. Once you get past the initial, oh, this is an impressive vista, you realize it's the only vista.
Yeah.
And that's always annoyed me. I mean, Drummond Cuss itself is a decent-sized zone. But for the capital of the Empire, it's, I don't know, they needed to dress it up somehow. It would just make the thing feel a bit bigger because it does not feel large. And that's for something that you strike fairly early on in the game. That's annoyed me since the beta. It still annoys me.
Whereas, yeah, you're right, with Guild Wars 2, it looks large. And funnily enough, though, when you're using the map to navigate, it never seems to take that long to get to from one end of the map to the other, but it looks huge.
But so, it still feels epic. And that's what matters. It's how it feels to you.
Because if I may interject, I haven't actually played Guild Wars 2 except once. I'm not really into the Guild Wars franchise. It looked interesting. But your comment about the view is very germane. I've thought the same thing about Drummond Cass. I didn't think that about Coruscant, maybe because it was all up in the air and you could always see things flitting about or whatever. The other game that I've played recently that felt huge, even though the area you were traversing in was fairly small, was Darksiders 2. It just seemed like you look out and there's stuff everywhere. And there's things moving everywhere. And you're just like, holy crud.
It's a real skill. And, you know, some developers do it better than others. And the guys on Guild Wars 2 have done it really well. I mean, the other standout is just how well the questing flows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in WoW, Star Wars The Old Republic, to some extent, the Secret World as well, it's pretty much a standard walk up to a quest giver and get a quest. Now, there is a bit of that still in Guild Wars 2, but there's obviously the spontaneous events or the scheduled events, I suppose. And then you pick up quests automatically, you pick up your talents partly automatically, it just flows. It's just a constant playing experience that you're not having to stop and start.
Yeah.
That was another emphatic, yep. We like it, don't we?
Yes. Yes, we do.
So, but like any launch, it's not been smooth. So over the last week, there's been two big issues amongst others. One, and we've got a post up on the site that I'll link to in the show notes. So Guild Wars 2 or ArenaNet have done a state of the game update over the weekend, and they've alluded to the fact that they've had issues with bots. From memory, I don't have it right here, but it was over 700 bot accounts that they've already dealt with, which is, again, not surprising given how popular the game is. And so they've suspended those accounts. And there's been a real issue with email address verification. So my understanding of this is that if you log in on a different IP, because there's no authenticator for Guild Wars 2, that if you log in from a different IP address, an email is sent to your account to verify that it's still you. The only trouble being is apparently that a lot of the emails aren't actually being sent out, so you're stuffed. You can't actually log into the game. Is that your understanding of it, Simon, if you've run across that?
I have heard that, but being a little bit obsessive-compulsive, I've made so many attempts to verify my email address, I actually got it to work. So that's unlikely to happen to me because I only play on this machine. But, yeah, that is my understanding of the problem, yeah. And obviously it's a pretty big one.
So, yeah, it is. And what's bizarre, and I know I've posted links to YouTube videos. I've forgotten the guy's name. Is it Francis, the fat guy that sits in his room and comments on games and chucks a tantrum? Anyway.
I'm aware.
Yeah, anyway. He's done one on Guild Wars 2, and he's alluded to a really valid issue, which is, well, he went onto the forums to find out what was going on, except there are none.
I
do not understand this in that, I love the official forums for MMOs, and there's a link to it, and then they go, I'm sorry, but we're actually not set up with these yet. How do you do that?
Well, it's a deliberate move on their part. They're not going to activate the forums until after the game's settled in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think we all know why, especially if you've ever gone onto the Old Republic.
Yeah, true.
I mean, hell, it's Lord of the Flies in there more often than not. So I think that's just one of
the freaking internet. What do you expect?
I know,
and people were waiting since 2008. And, well, yeah, it's Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, yeah. Cry me a river. Get a life.
I mean, look, the forums.
Oh, did I say that out loud?
No, the forums. The forums are sort of, there's half a million Eds on those forums, except that majority of them aren't as civilized and good natured as Ed. So that's.
And Obane.
It's scary.
I resent that, sir.
Oh, so you're not good.
I'm not good natured or civilized. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You are Obane.
You're certainly not mundane. So, yeah, Guild Wars 2, they're the two big issues and the lack of forums, but I'm sure they'll fix that. And, yeah, it's a good point. And given that you're not paying a subscription fee, you're just paying for the upfront box, I can see that, yeah, they don't want to get into forum hell yet, but, gee, it'd be nice to have some better way of getting information. So, I mean, they've got a Twitter account and stuff, which helps a little bit. So Guild Wars 2, thumbs up. And if you haven't played it, quite seriously, even if you hate the fantasy genre, it's just really worth checking out for the sake of $60. If you've got $60, buy the damn thing, sign up and play for a few hours and see what you think. And it's even fine for casual. It's very much a sort of game you can dip back into casually. And I know that's what I do. So, yeah. No other comments from you, gents, before we move on?
No, I agree. I'm loving
I'm
it.
I'm not allowed to give my laugh.
No, that's true, you're not. So, Guild Wars. And I mean, we need to do some more leveling to be totally up to date. But also, if you're a member of a Guild Wars 2 guild, we've been profiling a couple of guilds on the site. Please drop us a line at oceanicgamer.com/contact. We're happy to profile Oceanic Guild Wars 2 guilds. And we will have some guests on talking Guild Wars 2 in coming episodes. I just need to get off my ass and organise it. And if you're interested in jumping on as a co-host to talk Guild Wars 2, just drop us a line via that same contact form. So let's go on to the next one, which is The Secret World. Now, I tried to make that music sound a little bit mysterious, and at least that one didn't sound like my voice. If you listen to the Guild Wars 2 one, I tried to make it sound like an Asura person saying Guild Wars 2 in a whisper, but it really just sounds like me with a poor audio effect on. So apologies, folks, for that.
Oh.
There you go. You can listen after we edit this and laugh at it.
I'm afraid to now.
Secret World. I like the Secret World audio snippet better. I was proud of that one. So it's Secret World's putting along nicely, although it's a game that's suffering from bad public perception. Actually, let's talk game impression. So again, Simon, you have 14 characters, don't you?
No, I have one.
Holy dooly. And you rolled a Templar, didn't you?
No.
Illuminati.
I did actually create a character in each, but I've only bothered with one of them. And the reason was I wanted to find which one felt right. And the one that felt right was because each of them, you basically, you know, this insect thing, waking up, blah, blah, blah. Someone knocks at your door and then you get a representative of each of the factions, basically making an intro. And the one that struck me as the most appealing was the Illuminati guy.
Yep, so you're an Illuminati, yep.
This is the crowd I want to roll with. And so I have. And I like it. I like it a lot. It's fun. It's different. It's creepy as hell. And it's different. And I've said different twice, but it's different.
Indeed. And look, I've got exactly the same impressions. I rolled a Templar. I'm sort of past the... Well, I've gone from London to King's Mouth and I'm on the Savage Coast. I'm in a little bit to that part now, but I'm still fairly early days. Love it. It's always a pleasure to play. Graphically, it's stunning. The gameplay is different enough from other MMOs to be quite enjoyable. And Simon, based on your advice, I even got a damn notebook. And I'm actually, you know, any game that makes you enjoy writing in a notebook has got to be pretty bloody good.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I haven't had to have a notebook for a game since I played any of the Myst games, quite frankly. Yeah. And it's kind of cool because it draws you in. Having something in the real world that you refer to, it makes the game world and this world, there's a link somehow. I'm not quite sure how to explain it, but I like it.
And a lot of people do, so... General impressions are very favourable, but believe it or not, as a more widespread perception, it's a game that's struggling, and to some extent it is. So on the business side, and this has a lot of echoes in Star Wars The Old Republic, since launch, which was around 8 weeks ago now, it's only sold 200,000 copies, which is low.
Over 200,000 copies, but... You know it's not much more than that because...
No, that's right, because otherwise they'd say over 300,000.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, 200 to, it's, you know, 202,000 copies. And Funcom, who, just for those that are unaware, Funcom, like BioWare, is owned by Electronic Arts. Funcom, like BioWare, has undergone a significant restructure in regards to the Secret World. They've laid off about half their staff. Done a restructure, announced a delay in the next content update. So there's that real perception out there, it's not going real well. Like BioWare, although I'd argue more effectively at this stage, Funcom have come out and their, you know, community reps and developers and that have come out saying, look, yeah, it's been a shit time for the last few weeks, but we're well and truly committed to the game. We've got content plans in place. We are going to be doing monthly content updates as promised. It's just that this first big one is delayed by 2 weeks, but beyond that, they'll come out every 4 weeks. And they talk about issues. So issue number 2 is coming out. It's delayed by 2 weeks. I actually can't remember the exact. I think it was meant to be out end of August. So it's probably 2 weeks roughly from now. It comes out, and that's a new New York raid. And this, as you said, Simon, about the real world stuff, I just love the idea of all this epic content happening in real locations. And, you know, they're going to fix more bugs. They've had a couple of patches that have fixed some big bugs. They did have some bugs, for sure, like any MMO. But so it's really suffering badly from a perception, particularly given a couple of the key sites. One in particular I read the other day, this idiot reviewed it. I'm not even going to mention the website. The review was that bad, and the hundreds of comments slagging the reviewer give testament to it, where he reviewed it based on a what looked like a fairly early beta version and condemned the game badly, and most of the things that he condemned were actually fixed by launch. And so stuff like that, you know, has a life of its own and affects people's likelihood to go and buy stuff. And so it suffered from that as well. So without sounding like a fanboy, Simon and I are saying buy the damn game because it's bloody good.
Or at the very least... they've got three-day trials.
Yes.
Give it a shot. You'll get a pretty good idea of what's going on within a three-day span. So give it a go. What was that, Ed?
You know, I think I'm going to try it.
It's worth it for the three-day trial, mate. Absolutely. You'll know in 3 days whether you like it or hate it. And I've not actually heard anyone hate it. The worst I've heard is people say, oh, it's just a bit different, or no, it's not that different, and it's not different enough. But, yeah, I can't find a lot to complain about it.
I think it's different enough. I am going to have to make one small correction to your preamble. They're not actually owned by EA.
Seriously?
Yeah. The EA logo does come up at the beginning with the other logos, but they're an EA partner. So the only involvement they had with EA was EA handled the... They're the distributor for the box copies, and also through Origin. So if you buy the game through the Funcom website or the TSW website, that money goes straight to Funcom. EA don't get a cut of it, as far as I'm aware, which I'm actually quite satisfied about.
Yeah. Oh, thank God someone's doing their research, and I'm quite embarrassed by that. I don't think I've ever said in an article they were owned, but I have honestly assumed that. So there you go. Oh, that is good.
Well, I mean, the logo pops up right at the beginning, along with Funcom's and NVIDIA's, oddly enough, the early troubles they were having with NVIDIA cards. Although I've not had that problem, I have to admit, I stuck granted, it's not cutting edge. A 560 in my machine got rid of the Radeon, and I've found it's performed fine. I haven't noticed any glitches. A damn sight fewer glitches than I've ever noticed in the Old Republic.
Yeah, runs nicely. But no, thank you for that clarification. Because just as an aside, I'm writing a piece for the ABC this week that talks about companies and their unwillingness to invest time and patience into an MMO, and I think I alluded to EA. There, so I'll be correcting that one.
Oh, I think you can definitely allude to EA on that, or at least EA's fear of their own shareholders. Part of the good news, I suppose, about the secret world is the activity in the cash shop and the general retention, as far as and the activity that they're finding, they're actually quite pleased with that. So I think what they're basically saying is, from everything they can tell, they're slowly building a solid core of players, which is good for the game long term. So in a way, it's actually a sort of a mirror image of what happened with the Old Republic, in that it started huge and then it started collapsing quite badly as far as sub numbers go. So it may be that the secret world is going to be a bit of a flip side. It's going to start low and build up. I mean, they were expecting like 1.5 million people to come in, and that's not unreasonable when you consider that the beta, I think, had over a million people in it to start with. So this was a bit of a surprise. And as you say, the negative publicity, I think, probably had a rather unfair effect on the game's perception.
And I can see him getting to 1 to 1.5 million. I doubt they'd get beyond that. I think it will be always a niche MMO, but a bloody good niche MMO. And as a lot of more optimistic people are saying, there's still, I mean, Funcom did Age of Conan. That's still a playable game. They've stuck with that to some extent. And there's, you know, like Guild Wars 2, they did a state of the game update over the weekend. And we've got a got that on the website, and they're very much committed to sticking with it. So, and
yep.
Now that you've clarified my idiocy around EA, given that Funcom are really calling the shots on that stuff, I'm actually much more encouraged by that.
So, yeah, I think it's a good thing that the EA has really not too much pull on this. I did listen to an interview that the TSW Society show had with the Funcom's community manager, Mortea, and she was, as much as you could expect anyone to be, she was extremely frank and open about it. In fact, she was saying that as far as she's concerned, being open with players is really the best thing to do. Otherwise, if you try and couch it in too many weasel words, or just not, don't say anything, or just try and do the la-la-la, everything's fine, it just ends up with people coming up with their own truth.
Yeah.
So that's one.
The updates from her and Ragnar have been really good in that respect. Still a bit of PR speak in there that you'd expect, but overall it's good.
And they've got shareholders to look after as well. Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like they're free of that particular burden.
No, and speaking of community reps, I've been talking to one of the community reps there, and we're hoping to have one of them on this podcast. It probably won't be next episode, but probably the one after, and I've just got to confirm some times and dates and availability and stuff like that, but watch this space.
Oh, that'd be cool, because I mean, with the 50% layoff, some of which are temporary, they have been trying to scramble just to rearrange things somewhat, which is the main reason why they've had to put the issue 2 update back.
Yes,
is precisely that reason. Is there's a lot of rejiggling things going on. But they are very confident that the schedule for returning to normal. So, and after issue 2 drops, there should be issue 3 following fairly shortly after.
Yes. So there you go. Love that game. And so now we're going to do a final segment, and this will be a short one because we're running miles over, and that's World of Warcraft. Now, if you're wondering what the hell that music was, that was my attempt to think about what would a panda play after hours on a guitar, and that's allegedly a panda roaring. So it's another snippet you can laugh at.
Was the panda drunk?
Yeah, actually, it could have been either that or it got kicked in the nuts.
Ow.
Or it was drunk and was kicked in the nuts.
Total ow.
So anyway, I appreciate feedback on that. Look, there's only one really thing to obsess about with WoW, and that's the fact that Mr. Pandaria is coming up on the 28th of September. Last week, they released the patch 5.04, so this is where they've essentially updated the game to the interface and all the key skill and class changes that we'll be hitting with the expansion are actually now live. Obviously, aside from the fact of what occurs between level 85 and 90. So a lot of the changes are in now, and people have been playing them. So I won't go too much, because we really are running over time, but for those wondering, if you're the sort of person, and I'm looking at you, Ed, that last played in Burning Crusade, I mean, a lot happened in Lich King, and then a great deal of changes happened in Cataclysm. Well, this patch 5.04... changed a lot of stuff, particularly in regards to skill trees for classes. So they've incredibly simplified the skill trees. Now, some people don't like that, but as a general, my general vibe is most people aren't complaining and can see why they've done it. Essentially, every 5 levels, you choose from one of 3 skills until you get to level 85 and 90, I think it is. And a lot of your sort of spells and casts or weapons and stuff as you level up are automatically added to some extent. So it's just probably taking some advice from some of the other MMOs that have just made that whole skills and stuff a little bit simpler. So that's a big plus from, you know, I've probably put in a dozen hours on WoW in the last week, maybe a little bit less than that, and I'm liking it. So, and then in a month, we have the actual expansion. And I've also played a bit of the beta, so I have beta access, and I haven't actually been able to bring myself to go to Pandaria. I've just been checking out some of the other changes. But it's looking good. And I think they're going to, you know, they've dropped to, I think it's about 9 million players. I think they're going to knock themselves back into double figures with the expansion. For how long, who knows. But there's a lot to like with the expansion. Any comments from either of you guys? Because I don't think either of you are big WoW players.
I haven't been for quite a while. Having said that, I've spent so long banging around there. I think my druid is fairly keen to get his hooves back in the dirt and have a bit of a run around. And I got to say, even if you're not contemplating buying the expansion, at least watch the opening cinematic because it's a hoot.
Yeah, it is good. They've managed to make the panda funny, and I was one of many people going, oh, look, how much has this game jumped the shark featuring pandas? But I actually think they've done a fairly good job of integrating it into the lore and making it remotely credible.
You, sir, are a funny, funny man. Well, I don't know how anyone... How can anyone say that the introduction of pandas is jumping the shark when before... This with the last damn game, you could play a dog riding a horse wearing a top hat. How is that any more ludicrous?
No, you're right. And Pandarans, for those who are lore nerds, Pandarans go right back to the original Warcraft games.
Yeah.
So exactly. I remember, you know, remember mucking around with Pandarans. I think it wasn't a class you could pick, but it was a. I can't remember.
They were NPCs.
Yeah, they're NPCs.
You could interact with them, you could talk to them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and they had some good...
And I just have to say one thing. Yeah, it looks really good. The cinematic looks really good. I will never trust Blizzard again with anything whatsoever since their account security is apparently about as secure as a sieve. And I played WoW for some time. I never will again. It was a reasonably fun game. It was a very easy game, in my personal opinion. It was easy, very easy to play, very hard to master in most cases, unless you wanted to spend, you know, 20 hours a day grinding gear. And then add that to the fact the less than stellarly intelligent individuals that I dealt with on a daily basis, and it left an extremely sour taste in my mouth. The only game that had a more sour taste than WoW was Star Wars Galaxies after the changes that they made that were supposed to improve things.
You must tell us about that sometime.
No.
Not unless you want to hear me rant for an hour or two. No, although not. I will say this. When you're playing a DPS warrior and the tank tells you to attack the big one, and you attack the biggest one that you see. And he's like, that wasn't the one I told you to attack. And my response is, I'm playing a dwarf, dude. They're all bigger than I am. And he kicks me out of the party.
That's a douchebag. There are
problems. There are more douchebags in WoW. It's simple numerics. There are more people in WoW.
Yeah, that's
so true. There are going to be more douchebags in WoW than there are going to be in anything else. And I got sick of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I got truly sick of it. And yeah, parts of it were fun. But it got old. It got really old really quick. And no matter what anybody tried, it just didn't appeal to me anymore. And then, of course, you know, a year after that, oh, your account has been reactivated. No, it hasn't. Log in. Oh, wow. Somebody tried to use my account, except I'd already sold all the stuff and given everything to my guild. I wonder how much they enjoyed that.
Yes.
My warrior was running around naked when I left him in Ironforge because I'd given everything to my guild. I generally do that when I leave an MMO. It's just, I consider it to be, you know, kind of paying things forward, sort of good karma.
Speaking of running around naked, I want to do a shout out to Gail, our regular listener, who has a gnome paladin that's been known to do exactly that. I think she's in her undies. So yeah, it's looking good. I think for a game that's so old, you know, it has its flaws, but still the dominant or one of the dominant MMOs. I think they're going to do pretty well out of this, and if I was going to guess, I'd say they've got probably at least another two expansions in it before it really starts to decline, and maybe before then they'll have gone free to play, but it's hard to know. So, and yeah, shout out to my guild, the Wizards of Oz, for Oceanic players, and there's a lot of good Oceanic guilds. Wizards of Oz, I don't think we have a website at the moment, but Blackie, my guild master, is one of the listeners to this podcast, and I'm sure he'd love a whole bunch of applications because I know how much he loves dealing with people. So, good guild though, good casual guild. Anything else from you boys before we wrap it up?
Nope, I'm all talked out.
Yeah, it's been a long one.
Ha ha, ho ho, hee hee.
Yeah, he's just kept it within the boundaries. It's all good. It's part of his probation conditions that he can't do the laugh anymore. Thanks, everyone. And see, by now, most people have turned off anyway. So that's the end of episode 40. We'll be back in a fortnight. Yeah, mute that bloody mic, Ed. We'll be back in a fortnight. Don't make me get angry. And we may have a special guest. It'll just depend on the timing of that. As always, we're on Facebook, and we actually have changed the URLs over. So it's facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer, and don't forget the in front of it. And the same for our Twitter. Our Twitter account is twitter.com/TheOceanicGamer, and Mr. Simon's Twitter URL, go for it, Simon.
RPG beats RL.
And I say this without any hint of blowing wind up orifices. Half the time, the articles I write of an evening to put up on the site are based on this man's ability to sniff out news. So it's very much a Twitter account worth following.
Oh, how very nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I just try.
It just means I'm lazy and I go, I'll use Simon's feed to save time.
Yeah, well, someone may as well read the damn thing.
And Ed, you don't have Twitter yet, do you?
I do. I rarely use it. I rarely use Facebook, right. That stuff, because I don't trust it. I'm serious. I have to use it for some things, because in this day and age, you really can't not be connected socially. But I mean, I'm very careful what I put up on Facebook, because I was talking to various people in class and out about, you put that picture of you were drunk at the party a while back. And then your boss goes on your Facebook account and sees, oh, he was drunk and he was, what was he doing? With who?
A gerbil.
Yeah, it's a gerbil. Now, that's a long-winded way of Ed saying he's not giving out his Twitter URL, and I don't blame him, so that's good.
I ever not long-winded?
That's true.
That's a good point.
Shut up.
No!
Our contact email, it hasn't changed over, and it's just, I need to get around to it. It's contact@toroz.com.au. Always love to hear from you. I said, particularly if you're a guild that wants to be profiled, you have a story idea, you're running an event in one of the games, you name it, we're happy to cover it. If you're a game streamer like Condescend Gaming that we covered the other week, who has been streaming constantly of his early experiences in Guild Wars 2, always happy to promote that stuff. That'll do. Episode 40 is done. See you in a fortnight. Good night, boys.
Good night.
I'm going to turn it off. It's going off.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashback.